Hi, and welcome to this video on working with events in the Edge Dev Tools. I'm Andy Stones. I'm a program manager on the developer tools in Edge and IE, as well as developer tools for HTML and JavaScript applications in Visual Studio. And today, we're going to be talking about how you can use some of the features in the dev tools that ship in Edge to better debug applications that make use of events. Like, I'm pretty sure all of you have created websites or web apps that make heavy use of events, be it system timers, user input, and stuff like that. And so these are a few tips or a few features in the tools that I think can make your life as a developer a bit easier for having to know them. So it's sort of a simple demo, and the goal of today's video is really just to get across some features in the tools that can make you more productive, and hopefully make it so you pull out less hair next time you have to debug some events. So we're going to skip right to the demo. So I've got a pretty simple page here. It's just got a button, which has an event handler, and a little area where it has a mouse move event handler that will update. So the first tool I'm going to show you is something in the DOM Explorer, which might not be what you think about for events. But one of the big challenges of events, certainly for me, is that the DOM, or how should you say, web applications are almost separated. You have the DOM, your markup tree, your HTML. It's obviously driven by JavaScript. But the link between that markup tree and your JavaScript can be quite distant. You know, obviously, people don't use online inline handlers like onClick equals foo anymore. So instead, you have add event listener and stuff like that in your JavaScript code that's attaching up to elements. But using templating and all sorts of other techniques, it can be quite hard to take a given element in the page and then go find the piece of JavaScript that's handling the event for it. You know, the place where you want to set a breakpoint, the place where you want to debug. This is especially true in a complex app where there's many people working on it, or simply if you're having to debug someone else's code or code you haven't seen for a while. Like, the traditional way, of course, is you go to your search and you look for the get element by ID, or, you know, if you're using jQuery or whatever, the selector that matches, and try to find the JS that wires it up. That's a bit cumbersome. So one of the features in the tools is a tab on the right-hand side here called Events. And if you zoom in, what you can see is it shows a list of all the events that are wired up to that particular element. So whatever element you have selected in the DOM Explorer, this tab shows you the events they're listening for. Firstly, at the top, it says the event type. So in this case, it's click. Now, of course, you can have many events handlers wired up to an event. And, you know, libraries can add up their own. So could a third-party code running your application, et cetera. So these are all be listed here. And you can see the name of them. So if you were nice enough to name, rather than just doing an add event listener anonymous function, you'll see the name of it. Of course, you'll see the line of code where it comes from. And you can click on that and go to it. The other piece of information you can see is you can see if it's if it's set at the capture phase or the bubble phase. So for a bit of a reminder, capture phase is essentially when, say, a mouse click happens, like I click on that button, what will happen, of course, is the event gets dispatched from the top of the document down to the handling node and then back up. So the first way on the way down is capture or tunneling, depending on the platform, and then after that is bubbling. So this, of course, determines this use capture, which is the third parameter at event listener that you might not have used that often. It really determines when you get the event, like if it's before other people or whatnot. And that's shown here. And that's actually one of the few places this is shown. So if you ever have to debug an issue that's caused between bubbling or capture, that's an important piece of information to remember, because there's not another place to find that, except by figuring it out. So let's just take a look. So the first thing here is, of course, we can jump to the line of code. That's nice, and you can, of course, go ahead and set a breakpoint here. So, but with events, another problem might be, of course, is that if you use a language or a library to bind this, where unfortunately it's still going to show you, like, the jQuery location where it was bound to. So what you might want to do instead is use an event breakpoint. So what an event breakpoint is it's something that breaks on your code that's handling the event. So normally breakpoints are all about code locations. You say something like line default JS, line 50 or whatever, break when you hit that piece of code, when that statement executes. These breakpoints, though, are all about when this event fires, break in whoever's handling this. So that's great, especially if there's other people's code and all sorts of other stuff. And you get at this feature in the dev tools by, in the breakpoints window on the top right here, you can see a bunch of different options. And the first one here is an event breakpoint. So if I look at that, what will happen is you prompt with this little dialogue to select the event. So in this case, I could go for mouse events, and that's like a grouping of various mouse events like click and double click. Or of course, you can choose the individual event you're interested to, and I add click. You could also set a condition. So if you're familiar with conditional breakpoints, this will make a lot of sense to you. But if you're not, conditional breakpoints are really just pass me an expression, and we evaluate the expression. And if the expression evaluates to true, it breaks. Otherwise, false. So that's if it's false, it doesn't break. So that's really powerful if you obviously have very noisy breakpoints. So traditionally, you use conditional breakpoints in loops and stuff like that, or when you're looking for a specific value to change. It's worth keeping in mind, of course, that event breakpoints happen before your code runs, because we're stopping on the code that's about to execute. So if you have like an argument, like it passed into the event and stuff like that, that doesn't exist. And you have to use arguments, the arguments parameter that exists for all events. But anyway, let's just go ahead and add to that. Just like a normal breakpoint, it appears here, and you can disable it, enable it, remove it, and of course it'll be there when I refresh. So now when I click, what will happen, of course, is I break on the line of code, and you can see here that there's this little text explaining why I've broken, because you can have many reasons to break, and so this says, hey, we're breaking on a click. And of course, async call stack is there and everything just like you expect. So this is just like regular break, I can step. The big difference between this mode and regular breakpoint mode, essentially, is that when I press continue, I'm not going to continue out of the event handler, out of all the events. I continue to the next event handler. So if I have three event handlers, I hit continue on one, I'll go to the next event handler, hit continue there, and you go to the third. And then finally, if you hit in the last one, of course, you'll go back to global code. So that's really nice because it allows you to step through multiple event handlers when you have them wired up, or other people do, for example, like libraries and stuff, have them wired up. So you can easily step through them. And of course, just my code and everything else like that works for this feature. The other thing we have for an event breakpoint is a very special event breakpoint for XHR. So if you're familiar with XHR, of course, it's the way you get data, JSON, or whatever payload you're talking about. And so this type of breakpoint will break in any response body, a response from an XHR. So you make an XHR request to the server, it comes back, and this breaks in the response handler. So click it, bang, of course, you're in this case, this XHR handler that I created, and you can step. So again, if you know that something's contracting with a service and stuff like that, very easy to set a breakpoint without having to go around your code to find out exactly where your response handler is for your XHR. The last kind of thing we have for events is for event trace points. So breakpoints are great, they break in your code, but they can be a bit cumbersome, especially if you're talking about noisy things or things that you don't want to step through and you just want to log or monitor in the console. So that's exactly what event trace point is for. Like its partner trace points, this logs to the console. So here I can just log, and again, like because the code, just like event breakpoints, executes before your code, I have to use this arguments property to access the data. So I can do arguments.x, arguments dot. And the first one, since for the a mouse event, there is only one parameter passed in. And also, since this is you're essentially using a console.log API, you can use the string formatting and stuff like that. So %i, add, and now, of course, if I go to the console and move across, you'll see that it's logged some data. You can also log objects this way, and there's object inspection just like you'd expect in the console. So it's a really easy way to get events traced to the console without having to modify code or listen to change your code or listen to a new event. That's also interesting if you ever want to just log, for example, very quickly, the arguments parameter itself and see what options are available. You can just go ahead and log in and inspect, just like you would normally. Okay, so that covers some tips for working with events in the edges of EverTools. Firstly, event inspection in the DOM Explorer. That helps you find any events that have been wired up for HTML element. Just go to that events tab in the DOM Explorer. Event breakpoints over in the breakpoint window. Just add them if you want to break on a specific event, like you're debugging a click handler, but you're not sure where the code is. Great use for that. And then lastly, trace points for when you don't want to break and instead just want to log information to console so you can have a more passive way of diagnosing your issue. So that concludes this video and these demos. So if you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Edge Dev Tools, and we have twice weekly tips or GIFs that tell you how to use the tools. You can, of course, tweet to us at Edge Dev Tools, and we're always happy to answer questions and hear what you guys are up to. And of course, you can vote on features for us over on User Voice. We really value your feedback, so please go for User Voice, vote on things you think are valuable or you would need in your scenario, and if they're not there, just add them and vote on them. Lastly, if you're interested in more, we have the documentation up on MSDN, and you can find this at edgedev.tools, which will redirect. And then lastly, you can always reach me on Twitter, @AndySterland, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have. So thank you for watching this video.